Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Veronica Entwistle again, and you have tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Tonight I have a paradigm shifter, somebody who's making a difference on our planet as our consciousness changes to what, and he's got a lot to say about what is changing to. My guest tonight is Dr. Carl Kalaman. And Dr. Kalaman has written, you tell us the names of your books. He's written a lot about the Mayan calendar, and I've just been researching a great deal and forgotten the name of his books, unfortunately, but I'd like you to talk about it, Dr. Kalaman.
Okay, well, there are two main books that have been published in English. The first one is called The Mayan Calendar, simply. And then there is another one that was published in 2004 by Inner Traditions, and that goes by the name of The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness.
That's right. I love that title, actually, because I never quite know what 2012 is all about, and the Mayan calendar is what put 2012 in the headlights right now, didn't it?
Yes, yes.
So would you like to tell us what on earth is the focus on 2012?
Well, honestly, I'm a little bit surprised by it, and to some extent I think it's even a little bit misleading, because people then tend to think about the Mayan calendar as something that will happen at some point in the future, and where we can project all kinds of ideas onto. The way I look upon the Mayan calendar is like a calendar that describes an ongoing change that has been happening since the very birth of the universe 16 billion years ago. And it's happening now as well. And then there is some kind of a fulfillment going on that we are approaching. But I think it's completely misleading to sort of think of Mayan calendar as something that will happen later. It is happening now. It's a description of the changes that have been going on and is going on at the current time.
And so, thank you for that. And so the description of the changes, I'm an intuitive, I think you know that, and we keep knowing that there's such a huge paradigm shift going on. Would you say that it's a good way, the Mayan calendar, which is old, is a good way to describe what the paradigm shift is?
Well, you know, the Mayan calendar is a calendar that you might called a calendar of shifting energies. And historically speaking, when you look back, for instance, the past 5,000 years or so, then you can say that the shift point in energies in the Mayan calendar are very good time markings for whenever there have been significant paradigm shifts. So you might say it's actually a calendar of paradigm shifts. It's
wonderful. I like that.
It's a calendar that's entirely different in nature from the other calendars of the planet for this very reason. It has much more to do with what human beings create, how we think, how we perceive the world, and so forth, than what, you know, spontaneously when you hear calendar, people would probably think of it like a timekeeping device of one kind of another.
Is it kind of a description of cycles?
Yeah, it is cycles, and it's yes, it's cycles, but yet not in the traditional sense that most people would think of cycles as something that repeats itself and comes back at an identical point. The Mayan calendar never produces identical returns, so to speak. It's always a new point in time, and yet there is a number of cycles that are involved and intertwined and acting on different levels, and that is the reason that, you know, it never comes back like a cyclical, for instance, like the moon cycle or something like that, that just repeats itself.
Are these universal or galactic cycles?
Well, they are, I would say that they are universal. But we can never really be sure of that. But I think because we don't know what's happening really on other planets or other galaxies. But there are some indications that, yes, it's one plan for the evolution of the entire universe. And in this, and that is governed, that plan is governed by these universal cycles.
Well, let's bring it down to those of us that are beginning to understand it. How does this impact our lives now? Let's see.
Well, you might say it's these most of all it's something that helps you understand processes that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's also by following the calendar, it's also a way of sort of going in the flow of the changing energies at the current time, and
sort of like we use astrology, right?
Well, I would think so, except I'm not an astrologer and would not be able to talk really about this. Certainly the Mayan calendar is, and it really has the advantage of a sort of very, very much historical material to back up that it is actually something that does describe paradigm shifts in the way that human beings act and think and are.
Now, the Mayans wrote this calendar, designed this calendar a long way back when they were more in their heyday, right?
Well, yes. And it's not like one, it's not like one calendar that you can open up and read or everything that's there. But yes, you're absolutely right. About 2,000 years ago, emerges in the jungles of Guatemala, present-day Guatemala and present-day southern Mexico, emerges a calendar that we now can use as some kind of a ruler, something to match events in the history of the entire planet.
Isn't that amazing? And that's about the time that Christ was on the planet. So
that's right.
That's pretty interesting.
Yes, it is.
Must be a cycle of enlightenment, huh?
Yes. And you might say that there are some, coincidences that you may notice there. You know, for instance, among the Maya, the number 13 is like a holy number.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that their long calendar, their long 5,000-year calendar is divided into 13 different sections. And this calendar was devised at the time of Christ, at the same time, essentially, that Christ gathered 12 disciples, making themselves together then 13. And so there is something about an awareness that emerges at that time in different parts of the world of this sort of rhythm of 13 that is really a hallmark of all Mayan calendrics.
Before we get to the numbers, I wanted to ask about the Mayan underworld. There's a lot about the underworld that seems to have a huge impact on this cycling.
Yes. Well, in this context of the Mayan calendar, the term underworld is used in another sense than what is common in our culture. Underworld here simply means like a level of evolution of consciousness. So it really has nothing to do with what people spontaneously would think of, like something beneath the surface of the earth or something like that. It's more like we, human beings, we are sort of down here in the underworld. In other words, we are being influenced by heavenly energies that are being pulsed up on our planet and that propels us to move in certain directions. So underworld is, in a sense, it's good to use this concept because...
Can Can it be the subconscious?
No, it's not like that. It's not used in the traditional sense. It's used in a sense that was used that it was used by the Maya. I think, you know, the straight translation would be level of evolution of consciousness. You might say that the cosmic evolution scheme may be subdivided into different levels of evolution. It's not just one evolution. There is a certain lines where a new level is activated and it comes into play, and that's what you might say is the introduction of a new underworld. So I'm aware that this may be a little bit could be confusing to somebody who has not been introduced to the Mayan calendar in a systematic way.
Well, I guess I thought it meant. I looked things up on the web, of course. That's where I was doing most of my research.
Yes.
And they were talking a lot about it's where some of them said it's where dead people are, or where dead spirits are, but other ones said that it had to do with where all the magic resides as well.
Well, I think then it is not used in the same sense.
Okay.
And you know, it's obvious for anyone who goes into the internet that this is a field where there are many different opinions and viewpoints and so forth, and people will not always present the same terms and so forth.
We need a glossary, don't we?
Yes, we do. Even more so, it's just not a coherent picture that you get when you go into the internet to find out about the Mayan calendar.
I found some references in Barbara Hand Cloud's book. I wish I had gotten your book, but by the time I figured it was too late.
Yeah.
But she has references to galactic days, I believe it is.
Yes.
And I wonder if you can maybe talk to us about how you perceive, like, this period of time leading up to 2012. My understanding is it's not like December 21st, 2011, boing, it's like Y2K, everything's going to halt. You know, I don't believe any of that.
No.
But there is something going on now, which you probably have an awful lot of insight about, that's preparing us for a great change in paradigm.
Yes. One thing about the Mayan calendar system is that I already mentioned that it describes energy shifts in the cosmos, giving rise to paradigm shifts among the human beings. So these energies are influencing the minds of the human beings. And it is like a pyramidal structure where new and new levels of consciousness come into play. And each one of these is developing with a rhythm that is 20 times higher than the ones that it is based upon. So, in other words, what this gives rise to is like a speed-up of time, or a perception of a speed-up of time.
Oh, my.
An accelerating process of evolution. And when Barbara refers to galactic days, she talks about the galactic underworld, which is the level of evolution that we are currently in, which has been going on since 1999, and where the energy changes, the major energy changes between days and nights, as they call, happens as frequently as every 360 days. And this is a contrast to in earlier times of human or cosmic history, when the energy changes, you know, might happen on the levels of millions of years or even billions of years.
And,
but this time, you know, we are getting onto what some people talk about a singularity point, but a point to which the where everything is accelerating more quickly.
So instead of it undulating gently over a million years, it's hitting fast. The energy flows that are universal are coming more quickly, and we're adapting quickly until there's just a straight pipe to us. Is that it?
Something like that. That's what it seems like.
Isn't that interesting? Because we're all feeling like, wow, time is going so fast these days.
Yes.
And I can feel the energy. Sometimes it's just hard to keep your body together because it's going so fast, right?
Yeah.
And now, is that real? Is that the real energy moving through the atmosphere?
I would think so. I think that's what is influencing us. Much of these changes are on an inner level, and are sometimes it's hard to describe for in some kind of a tangible terms. It may not be visible to an outside observer, but I think on an inner level people sense it, and there are time periods where people just get tired for no evident reason. And then there are other time periods where they're much more active and alert, also for no apparent reason. Mm-hmm. And some of this, I'm sure, is related exactly to these shifting energies of the Mayan calendar.
Well, now, if there is such a speed-up going on, we're on a healthy vibrational level. We're entrained with the frequencies of the Earth, are we not?
I couldn't follow that.
All right, so my question is the universal, there's this speed up that we were just talking about,
yes,
the 360 days and so on. Is the Earth's frequency shifting? Is Mother Earth's energy moving faster as well?
Yes, I mean, as I said, these are cosmic energies. And so our energy changes. According to the Mayan calendar, they just, you might say, microscopic reflections of the energy changes of the Earth and the galaxy and the universe.
Hmm.
So it's all a system where different levels are in resonance with one another. So then the human mind is in resonance with the global mind. And the global mind is in resonance with the galactic mind. And the galactic mind is in resonance with the universal mind. And so in this way, it's all happening, in a sense, synchronistically. Yes.
In attunement sort of thing.
Yeah.
Reattunement.
Yes.
Do we create our reality?
Well, I would say not to the extent that a lot of people think. One of the things that you learn by studying the Mayan calendar is that, what we talked about earlier here in this interview is that the energy shift in the Mayan calendar plays a fundamental role in creating the paradigm shifts of thinking among human beings. And when you study the Mayan calendar, you come to some other kind of a conclusion. It seems like these energy changes, they are creating our reality, or at least they are creating how we perceive reality. It's very often you hear people saying that they are creating their own reality, but there's always these creations of your own reality, so to speak. It happens within the framework of something that is bigger, something that has a cosmic origin. I would be, the way I look upon it, yes, within very limited framework, we do create our reality, but to a large extent, our fates are sealed by the cycles, and the fates of a particular generation is sealed by the particular energy that dominates it. And that includes, you know, the thought that is popular today, that we create our reality. But that's, you know, that's just another effect, the way I look upon it, of these cosmic cycles that have been coming in for a certain period of time.
You mean the cycle is pushing us individually to create our reality?
Yeah, or at least to think that we create our reality.
And is part of it, you know, as you speak, I'm quite aware that many of us find ourselves buffeted about by energies these days,
yeah,
feeling much more sensitivity.
Yeah.
And I often think that if we wish to create, for example, a more harmonious humanity than it has been going on, it is about riding the waves, isn't it? It's about moving in harmony with these waves that are actually buffeting us about, is it not?
I would think so, yes.
So at that level, we're creating, either that or we're resisting. So what's going to happen on the planet over the next 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, you know, I think my answer is probably not very much different from a lot of others who would say that we're in for a very turbulent change.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the turbulence comes from this speed up of time. I should also say the sort of, it's actually at this point, kind of time, there is also like a very, it's like a, it's all the wave movements of change, wave movements of shifting energies, and it's like the waves are getting larger, getting, the amplitude is increasing in these waves, and that adds to the turbulence.
And some of it creates greater resistance, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. We sort of, I think very much when you, I mean, you talked about this with the creating our reality, and I think the kind of choices we have very much has to do with whether we are going to flow with the energies or whether we are going to resist it. And that is a crucial thing. And I have a sense, essentially, that we have a say in that, or we have a choice about these things.
How do we make that choice? Of course, I have theories, too, but I'd really like to hear your perspective.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd have to maybe broaden it a little bit and look upon what I see as the end point of this whole process of the Mayan calendar, which the way I've come to understand it through my research is that this is ultimately it is about a change towards a state that we might call oneness. In other words, it's a state of, like a non-dualistic state of consciousness. And I think if we are to make some kind of a choice, I think the choice we have to make is to focus on attaining that state. That's basically my answer to your question.
So I'm thinking what you're saying is right now our paradigm is being influenced by or shifted by these cosmic, these universal energy flows.
Yes.
And they're prompting us to move toward a oneness and a non-dualized consciousness.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, I agree.
Wow. Well, that's perfect. We want that.
Yes.
But the turbulence is something to pay attention to, because I noticed that there are many systems coming apart these days, and, you know, the systems that people count on, and people don't like that, and there's a lot of kind of war and reaction to that,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yes.
Is that what you see as the worst part of the turbulence?
Well, you mean, you said warfare?
Yeah.
There could be. Are you there?
Yes, I sure am.
I'm sorry.
Did you drop your phone? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, you're there. Good.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just going to start singing a song.
Sing a song to entertain?
Yes.
maybe we should do that.
It's good to laugh.
Yes. Now, I lost you in the turbulence, you might say. We were talking about turbulence, and then
then we had some.
Yes.
Okay. We're back on.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a turbulence always when energies are influencing human beings, and it doesn't have to go to the point of warfare, but there is always, you know, some people resisting certain changes, at least initially,
mm-hmm.
and then there are those that are carrying the changes, and this often generates conflicts in one form or another, and the change by itself creates turbulence. And,
well, people's security or understanding of security is certainly being challenged, isn't
yes.
it? And
yes.
And that will make people fight, won't it?
I think so,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's, I think the security now is in accepting the change, and not all kinds of changes, because there are, you know, all aspects of these wave movements, and some move us forward, and some are purges, when you might even talk about destruction and or going back and so forth. But I think it's about accepting the change that is leading in this direction of a state of oneness.
So that's the choice. That's where people have a choice, right?
Yeah.
And so what do you recommend for that? I'd like to talk about oneness, because I know you've been involved in the Diksha.
Yeah.
And I really love that movement. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Well, it's...
4 or 5 minutes, whichever you wish.
yes, I could do that. Well, the Diksha is a phenomenon of, you must say, transference of divine light or divine energy, and it's done by holding hands on the heads of people, and it's something that originates in India, and that particular movement also goes by the name of the Oneness Movement, and the reason being that these dikshas are helping change in consciousness in the direction of oneness.
It's sort of interesting. It's as if those cosmic flows of energy which are influencing our paradigm, we take it down to another level, and we have people who can conduct high energy and move them in through other people's systems, right?
Yes.
It's
yes.
kind of a parallel there.
Yes, absolutely. So, and this movement is, you know, it originates in India, and it also has... even though it's not based on the Mayan calendar, it actually has had for a long time the idea of the year 2012 being a year when a lot of these changes would flower, and so it's an example of several traditions in the world that are converging in a certain process in this direction of oneness.
Hmm. Do you give Diksha?
Yes, I give Diksha.
Great. And for people at home, that means that he's been, what is it, you have had the transmissions which enable you to bring through the energy, and you can put your hands on people's heads and pass that energy along, right?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is, and it's actually a joy to give Diksha as well.
It is. You find you get as much as you give. I think most consciousness works that way, doesn't it?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, I'm jumping around back to our notes when we were talking before, and what do you think, like, between now and 2012, what do you see? I know we've already talked about turbulence, but what do you think is happening with people? Do you think in the speed up there tends to be, I guess I think about the internet, so do you think there's tending to be some great consciousness moving through human consciousness? Do you think we're handling it pretty well?
I think people are a little bit too unaware of the origin of the changes. I think it would help if people knew that. And that's where the Mayan calendar comes in. Because, you know, with a Mayan calendar in hand, sort of these changes do not come as surprises to you. And so that's my feeling.
So the Mayan calendar would present the flows of energy that are being received each day or each week or whatever?
Right.
I was reading, as I told you, I was reading in preparation for our visit today, and I found that it was overwhelming just following the whole system of numbers and so on.
Yeah.
It might be a little tricky to get huge numbers of people to ingest that and use that information.
Well, that's that seems to be the case.
Not that I think we're all lazy, but everybody's moving, as we know, way too fast right now.
Yeah.
And I just believe that you have some keys for people to understand that that would help us get through this period of time with an optimism. You said we don't really create a reality because a lot of it is created by the energy flows.
Yeah.
But is this not a time we're moving to where we're working with divine mind more and we can become able to create this reality?
Yes, I would say so. But it would be, in general, I would agree on that. And yet, I think people also should see the other part of the coin, which is that there are energies that, you know, we are under the influence of or even subordinated to. And without knowing that, it's hard to understand that we are actually part of a divine plan, an ongoing divine plan, because it is exactly that which is changing our minds and changing our ways of looking at the world and so forth. The Mayan calendar describes a divine plan.
So, I guess I'm thinking, can we, this is going to sound funny, can we lose? I mean, do we have so many options here that we can reach for the divine plan or resist and plunge into more turbulence or turmoil? You know what I'm saying? Because you hear that kind of story.
Yes. I don't think that the outcome is certain in any sense.
So the outcome is either dark or light, is it that?
Well,
going back into dualistic thinking.
No, I don't think that's possible. But disintegration, I would think, is possible.
Disintegration?
Well, yeah, of the whole, you know, the whole system, so to speak.
Well, that could be a little bit lethal, huh?
What's that?
That could be quite challenging.
Yes, that's very challenging.
So tell me, what do you think about the empowerment? For example, if an individual is really comprehending the energy flows and the consciousness shift and the paradigm shift, how much power does an individual have? How many people have to be involved in understanding to make this flow really potent? You see what I'm saying? Is like,
yeah, I think, yes, I think I know what you're saying, and I really don't have the answer to it, or any tentative answer to it either. I think ultimately it's all about what the totality of human beings do, and that's what sort of is the crucial thing.
Well, I guess I'm pretty excited thinking that there is divine plans and there's waves of consciousness coming through us. So it's not all up to each of us to really get conscious as fast as we can, but still that's advisable, right?
Yeah.
Do you have exercises? Do you have suggestions? And I know that you're giving a workshop here in Bellingham on
that's
the weekend.
Right.
Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, yes. So that's this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-day workshop, and it's something I call a Mayan Daykeeper workshop. And I've given it in several countries, and I've given it as webinars, and now I'm also giving it here in Bellingham in Washington State. And you might say that it's a course to educate people to become like modern daykeepers. A daykeeper is something that has existed in the Mayan culture for about 2,500 years, we know.
Hmm.
And it's something that each little village in Guatemala has a daykeeper. This is a person that plays a central role in the village. It's one that is like the medicine woman or the shaman or the plays these kind of roles. But then in this particular culture, then it's combined with the responsibility of knowing the energies of the days and following the energies of days and helping people adapt to the energies of the days.
Mm.
So this is what this course really is about. Now, of course, this is not Bellingham, it's not a mountain village in Guatemala. And so this is directed to to people here. So it has another character, but it gives the broad understanding of what the Mayan calendar is all about, and shows the divine plan as we may understand it. And it also tells about how are we, through our own times of birth and our own particular Mayan day signs, how are we related to the overall process, and how do we take part of it, flow with it, and so it sort of has a section of what you might call Mayan astrology, which tells us about the, you know, how personalities and fates are related to these Mayan day signs. It's a course that covers quite a lot.
It sounds pretty vital in the sense that people can use the information to move through these next few years.
I would say so. Yes,
mm-hmm.
That's what it's intended for, it's a little bit, what should I say, the Mayan calendar, it does require quite some study in order to understand it. But once you have gone through that, you know, everything or a tremendous amount of things fall into place. And it's a very common reaction that, you know, people go through this and they feel so many pieces of the puzzle have come in place.
Hmm.
That's maybe the most. I mean, people have all these loose threads. That's my experience anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They have loose threads. Maybe they've been into spirituality. They've heard all kinds of ideas in esoteric ideas. Most people also have like a background of a more, what should I say, like the school kind of scientific kind of background of that, from everything they've been taught in their general education in high school and colleges and so forth. And usually these two, what should I say, streams of knowledge or bodies of knowledge, the college education or high school education on the one hand, and then the esoteric metaphysical knowledge on the other hand, they are like worlds apart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Mayan calendar brings it all together, and that's a fantastic thing about it. It really does bring a holistic worldview where you can understand everything becomes part of it.
Mm-hmm. And so do you find that people learn their soul journey, their purpose in this social milieu? Is that one of the things?
That they learn their soul's purpose?
Or that they have a role? You said something about...
Yeah, well, I shouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't dare to promise that they, you know, they learn their soul's purpose. Because I think ultimately that's like a choice we have to make. But you do learn, you know, something about the kind of energy that you have chosen to be born into. And when you know about that energy, it also means that, you know, you may have chosen it because there is a certain kind of a task or something you...
Oh, I see.
A role, as you would say.
Helps define what your role can be.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I found out I'm a serpent.
You're a serpent?
Yeah. Yes.
What number were you on serpent?
You know what? I don't remember that. I remember going through and looking it all up. And
oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, that's a kind of an energetic energy. How should I say it? It's a powerful, that's for sure. But it's sort of a fairly extrovert energy. It's an Eastern sign. And what that means is that it's sort of it's linked to the rising sun and the energy coming in through that direction.
Well, that's nice because in the Native American, I'm in the East. You know, you got one of the four directions.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I don't want to go into me particularly, except it's a good. It would be nice if you could speak to people about little things that they can learn. It sounds like your workshop's going to bring people into connection with themselves. That's helpful.
Yes, yes. And especially then through these day signs, as they are called. I mean, we are, like every day has a particular energy, then everybody's born into one of these energies, and that's what creates a mark on our path.
Well, now, this workshop is going to be at Wise Awakening, which is a wonderful, wonderful sound healing center in Bellingham.
Yes.
And I suppose, is it full already, or do you want people to sign up?
No, certainly the people are welcome that want to participate, absolutely. Yeah.
I think you can check into the website, which is wiseawakening.com, or you can call them at 360-756-8075. That's 360-756-8075. Or if you haven't had time to write down the number, it's Wise Awakening on Holly Street in Bellingham. Should be a wonderful workshop this weekend, Dr. Kellerman. When you're Dr. Kellerman, I was wondering how you got into the Mayan work, because you're a cancer doctor, aren't you? An oncologist?
No, I couldn't say that I'm an oncologist. I'm rather what's called a toxicologist. I'm a doctor of toxicology. In other words, I study chemical compounds that cause cancer. Oncologist would be somebody who is a medical doctor and treats the disease, and that I'm not. But yes, I've spent 20 years in laboratories, and so that's been my original career. And I was then 10 years at the University of Washington in Seattle as a senior researcher of environmental health.
Wonderful. Well, that's kind of a nice tie-in to this kind of work as well, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, I'm sure it comes out of a similar kind of a commitment. But anyway, for some time, I think the first time I visited Mexico was in 1979, and then got in contact with the Mayan people. And so at that point, that was really a life-altering event for me. And from that point onwards, my two interests sort of ran in parallel. And but I still stayed with the environmental career for maybe 12 or 13 years after my first exposure to the Mayan culture and their calendar. Mm-hmm. And then there came a point when I just decided that I felt that the Mayan calendar was a more important thing.
So your research about the Mayan calendar has been pretty thorough and pretty intense, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been a lot of research, yes.
That's wonderful. We're almost at the end of our show, and I just wondered if you have some exercises for people or anything that you could recommend that they do to... not everybody's going to study this, some people might, but we might have some help or some guidance to go through this paradigm shift with Grace. Who's Grace anyway?
what did you say is left?
Well, between now and 2012,
yeah.
There's only a few years left,
yes.
Right? And there is a lot of turbulence, there's a lot of turmoil, there's
yeah.
a lot of speed up. What would you recommend that people do to stay calm, cool, collected, and absorb the gifts that are coming from this these cosmic energy flows?
Well, my recommendation is really to make the commitment to attain like a state of oneness and to seek whatever... whatever path that might lead to that, whatever work you might need to do with yourself to attain that kind of a state. And I mean, there are all kinds of consciousness transforming techniques out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily, except that I do give diksha, I don't really help people in the transformation because there are so many other people that do that in various ways, and that's the only recommendation that I would be willing to give, you know, or two recommendations. One is to find out about the Mayan calendar. So that which helps you to understand what is happening in the world and the bigger picture of the changes and so forth. And the second one is to make this commitment to be part of the process towards oneness. And if you make such a commitment, you will also seek the means to attain it. And that's my recommendation.
That's a wonderful recommendation. Well, I really, I might be able to come into part of your workshop. I'd love to. I have some other commitments.
Great.
It sounds very, I feel like I could be guided. It would really help center me. So I hope some of you listening would love to go fly up to Bellingham for those of you who are on the East Coast. Who knows, right? And I really appreciate your time with us, Dr. Kellerman. I'm going to do further investigation in my understanding of the Mayan calendar as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Just a minute, please. Do you have any other talks or meetings that you'd like to talk about?
No, not at this point. It's not scheduled anything else at this point. I'm just coming to Seattle, actually, and part of the reason I'm here is that I'm going to Vancouver then to start working on a film project that might develop in the next year or so.
Is it a film project about the Mayan calendar?
Yes, about the Mayan calendar.
Wonderful. That's very exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it's very exciting. I think it could become a big thing. That's what I hope.
Well, I hope that you'll come back on to the show and talk about it.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate your visit with us today, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. This is Veronica Entwistle, and that was our paradigm shifter for the week of Dr. Kalaman, and he really has me thinking about the Mayan calendar, the predictions 2012, and the fact that we were talking about cosmic universal energies. I love that. That was really educational for me. And next week, we have a very interesting person. Now, Dr. Kalaman talked about Diksha, which is where you put your hands on someone's head and you transfer some really high-frequency energy. So it's working with the brain and our consciousness. And next week, my guest is Lee Gerdes. Now, Lee has he's a nerd. He calls himself a nerd, I think a techie wizard anyway. And he created a machine that's really influencing people's brains to unhook the patterning that's created either sickness or anomalous behavior, like becoming a crook or deceiving, having not much of a life. And he's really helped people reformat their brain patterns, even if they come from genetic influences and so on. And he's got a website called Brain State Technology. I'll say that again. It's Lee Gerdes, G-E-R-D-E-S. His website is brainstatetechnologies.com, and he's going to be on our show next week. I think it's good to check the website and learn a few things, because he really is a very, very exciting man who challenges some of our limitations. He's helped me disperse many limitations just by listening to an interview that he had done on Conscious Media Network. So, and I know that he's had some terrific impact on people, and he's worked with some other healers and done some great work. So this is Veronica Entwistle. Oh, I have two more minutes to talk to you. Isn't this exciting? This is the Mayan calendar time and the time of 2012, and we're talking about universal energy flows and how these, I believe, the way I understand it, is that the universal energy flows come through and have a huge impact on human collective consciousness. I need to learn more about that and think about it. And the fact that what we're getting now is a shift in paradigm, which you and I talk about quite a bit. We know that the paradigms are shifting, certain systems are coming apart, and we often believe that we're creating our reality fully, but a lot of us question, we go, something else is going on. And according to Dr. Kalaman and his work on the Mayan approach to the universe, it's that much of the universal energies that come through really are very dynamic in terms of creating the kinds of thoughts we would be attracted to. So I'm really thinking about that. I kind of like it in a way, because it makes me think that not everything is up to me to be wonderful about, that there's something wonderful being created. Time is speeding up and the turbulence is strong, but it's up to us to stay centered and to call in the support and protection of the unseen and to move through. I love my structures that the guides taught, to use your energy structures, call in the four directions, or use the energy structures that we talked about in Radiance by Design, and learn to center yourself and enjoy these crazy, turbulent flow times and be part of the new paradigm. All right, we'll see you next week on Radiance by Design at 4 p.m. on Tuesday. I'll talk to you on Jackie's show, or I'll be there. Thursday night at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk about our talk with Jim Sparks, who had visited with the aliens. And next Tuesday, I'll be really pleased to talk with you on Radiance by Design. And again, at 5 o'clock next Tuesday, West Coast time, we'll be speaking with Lee Gerdes. And remember, look up his website, brainstatetechnologies.com. Many blessings and much love to all of you, and thanks so much for listening. Have a great week. Da-da-da-da.